In Ephesians chapter 4, let me read these words, if I can find my glasses here. Is this the part you edit too when I'm looking for my glasses? I just found out she edits about half of my sermons anymore. That's why people call and say, oh, our fine sermons. There's nothing there but the benediction. I'm just kidding you. She's not really doing that. I don't think, are you? Beginning at verse 17. So I tell you this. And by the way, the Apostle Paul, as in all of his letters to the churches, has had this one concern, and that is what we've been talking about, this concern about the spiritual life of the church, and to make sure that we're all walking in unity. He calls one church, he calls it a body, you know, and the other, he talks about Jesus being the head of the church, and so he's explaining this to the Ephesians in this chapter. He says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in this futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Now, King James said the old man, put off the old man, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, which is to put on the new man. Now, if you put on the new man, we'll be related. Got it? Okay. Just checking. Created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God's will is that we all would be sanctified. To be sanctified so that our neighbors will see something different in us. We recognize that they're different people. I remember a good old friend of mine, his daughter's here in the church. I talked a lot about him probably. He told me, we were talking one time, he said, my witness is my lifestyle. He said, when people see me driving to church, they know that I go to church. When we're in a feed store or whatever, he said, they don't hear curse words coming from my mouth. I don't cheat on my taxes. And he said, my life before the world is my testimony. And I think of that often. You know, it's when I was driving the truck, it would have been so easy for me to have done things ungodly because no one knew who I was. I was out there alone, and I could have done all kinds of falsehoods. Well, you don't know whether I did or not anyway. But I didn't. And I think sometimes we're tempted when we're alone by the devil to do things that are worldly. We sometimes want to sink back into the old ways. Sometimes when we're discouraged, we want to sink back into our old ways. And, you know, we think we're done. We think we're finished. Well, God has failed me. But God wants us to be a community. He wants there to be that relationship between us as though we were brothers and sisters. Remember Jim and Carol when we used to call each other brothers and sister at church? Remember that? It was such a closeness, and you felt as though that person sitting next to you was your brother or your sister in Christ, and it was easy to share your concerns with people that you have confidence in and that you felt like were people that you could trust. And that's where God is trying to take us. That's why he wants us to be sanctified. Because to be sanctified is a cleansing that takes place on the inside, but it's also a commitment to obedience, a life of obedience. And God says, "I that's my will that you live that way." In fact, it's so important to God that we be sanctified. If you turn to your Bible in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, I want to read this to you. Chapter 5, verse 23. The scripture says, "May God himself," no other entity, no other person, no other thing, "God himself wants to sanctify you through and through." Totally, completely. God wants to do this in us and for us himself. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God himself. Let that sink in for a minute. You know, God is creator of everything good. God created mankind. He created us, in a sense, from the beginning. God, who holds our very life in his hand. God, who gives us the good pleasures of life. God himself wants to sanctify you. Me wants to sanctify us through our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. He wants us to commit everything that makes up our person. That's dirt under the fingernails, ingrown toenails, freckles, pimples, blemishes, whatever you've got. God wants that committed to him. He wants all of you. And he wants you to want all of him. You know, we're justified by faith. How many of you know that? We're saved by faith. God justifies us, takes away our sin, washes us slate clean. We start all new again. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. I'm so glad for that. That God washed my slate. Because I don't know how I would have dealt with the guilt if he hadn't of the things that I did. And now this morning, God is saying to us, now by faith I want you to receive this sanctification that I've got for you that will cleanse you and set you aside for me to use for my work. As a holy vessel in his temple, he wants to set us aside and use us. And I know that many of you probably, I know I struggle with it, but what can I do? You know, who am I? How can God use someone like me? Well, it doesn't take much, you know. I tell you what, a lot of times someone comes up to me and shakes my hand and just wants to know how I'm doing, what's my day, how's my day. Or sometimes it just takes a really friendly smile, you know. I've been telling Carol I need to get some of those teeth sparklers because when I smile, my teeth are kind of yaw, you know. It's not from smoking or anything like that. But a hug, you know, a hand on the shoulder. Just becoming a friend with a friendly word. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. That people will treat you like you treat them. And God has given us this promise that He is going to take care of us, body, soul, and spirit. The whole batch of us, we committed, but the Holy Spirit is working in us to make sure it works for Him and for His glory. He doesn't want us actually running around out there by ourselves, but the whole. I'm talking about your future here as a believing body of Christ and one that reaches out and one that brings in people that need the Lord. I'm talking about how you work as a body with your individual gifts. And I hope you took it serious when I was preaching on the gifts of the Spirit. The church needs the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not just talking to make talk. I'm telling you that Paul said you need to desire the spiritual gifts. And so I hope you've been looking at them in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 of Romans, and looking at those gifts and seeing, yeah, I think I could use that gift for God's glory. It's not for our glory. You know, if God gave you the gift of wisdom or knowledge, it's not for you to be puffed up thinking you're somebody. It's for the body of Christ. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Or healing. Or whatever gift God has made available to you and you feel that God has given you, use it to glorify Him. And I'm telling you something, folks. It works. These just aren't idle words that are coming. These are the words that come from the very Word of God. God loves us so much. Well, it just kind of makes me think of God just wanting to just kind of gather us all in the big old arms and just, you know, just love us. And He says, God Himself says, I just want to sanctify you wholly. I don't want any part of you to be left out. I want you to be all that you can be for my glory. And the wonderful thing is that God provides the energy, the power, everything else that's necessary for us to be successful, victorious. Victorious in our faith, you know, to have victory in Jesus. And I've challenged you this morning, and I'm going to ask you to do this. I didn't say anything to my music people, but there's a song that would probably be applicable right now, a song called I Surrender All. Can we find that? And I know you folks aren't used to lifting your hands and praising the Lord, because I look around, I don't see too many hands, and I don't do it all the time. But I think this would be a good time. You know, when you think about some guy coming to the gun and holding you up, you put your hand up like this. We're singing a song here this morning. And if you really mean it, if you really want to God to sanctify you whole, I want you to just lift up your hands to the Lord and worship Him as we sing this. I sacrifice. Go ahead.
Would you stand, please, and turn to number 486 in your hymn book. 486. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I want you to believe that God is doing what He's promised to do. As you sing that song in faith, God just sanctified you through and through. I want you to do one more thing for me. Shake hands, be friendly, and love one another. Would you? God bless you.